بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And the verse says, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Whether you conceal what's in your mind or whether you reveal, Allah Ta'ala will call you to account. Sahaba Ikram were quite concerned, quite disturbed. Revealing it, alright, we can restrain ourselves from revealing something, from disclosing. But concealing, this is quite difficult. The human mind is very strange, unique. All type of thoughts, good, bad, rotten, evil, stinking thoughts pass the mind. And Allah Ta'ala says that whether you conceal or you reveal, and Allah Ta'ala will call you to account, then how do we cope with this? Can manage this? Man is sitting and several thoughts will pass his mind, whether he's in the masjid, whether he's in the haram sharif. One person is telling me, what do I do with myself? I just want to destroy myself. I'm right in the haram sharif, in the mataf, and then I want to do the tawaf. And then, unfortunately, they don't have any arrangements for separating the men and the women. So all types of people come for umrah, for hajj, tawaf, ziyarat. All types of people, they are those that are learned, those that are not learned, those that know the masail, those that don't know masail. Those that don't know the masail, and then you will find men will be clashing with women at some point, a little bit, or sometimes more seriously, they will be clashing. As a rule, for most people, it is better. In this day, when I look at things and circumstances, then it is not rewarding for women to go in crowded areas, crowd times. That are reward. They rather stay at home. Because in doing one mustahab, it will be doing several haram. Man will be clashing with the woman. Woman will be clashing with you. So for the woman, it's not an act of merit that they must go for umrah, etc. But it's not faras for them. And if they have to do nafal umrah or tawaf, then must do it right at the outer circle. Right at the outer circle, so that they do not clash with anybody. And if they're going to go anywhere deeper into the inner circle, then someone is going to clash with them, they're going to clash with someone, and sometime it becomes unavoidable. And this type of clashing is not permissible. Then you get those women who rush to the Hajar Aswad, or they want to rush to the Maqam Ibrahim or Rukna Yamani, and they all rushing for it. It's a man beside you, it's a woman that side, and everybody's rushing for that. So there's going to be some type of a clash or the other. Under the circumstances, it's not rewarding at all. You're going to do one mustahab, and you're going to do 10 haram. So this person is telling me that I'm right there, and then I don't have any intentions to do any wrong. But this type of thoughts running through my mind, that there are some beautiful women around, and you know, whilst it's right into the tawaf, right in the midst of the tawaf, then I can do my thing as well. What he meant was obvious, grab them, whatever, and nobody can say, point a finger at him that he did anything wrong. Because he can come out clear saying that I just clashed and bumped. And that bump, a lot of things can happen. Now he says, what must I do with myself? I haven't done this thing, but this type of thoughts are running through my mind. So this human mind is very unique, strange, all type of thoughts, weird, good, very, very clean and pure. and sometimes very, very dirty, filthy, stinking thoughts can pass your mind. He says, when all these type of thoughts are passing my mind, then am I a person that is supposed to be here? I'm not supposed to be around here. My heart is so dirty, my heart is so filthy that these thoughts are passing my mind. So, you have to explain the person, I have to explain him. In tubdu mafi anfusikum o tufu. When this verse was revealed, then this brought a lot of anxiety and worry in the Sahaba as well. That whether you're going to conceal or you're going to reveal the thoughts, Allah Ta'ala will call you to account. So the revealing of it, that we can restrain, we can stop ourselves from revealing and expressing. But concealing, now these thoughts will pass the mind. Sometimes it's about woman, sometimes it's about iman, sometimes it's about some weird concept, right? All these thoughts are running through the mind. The one thing that we need to understand is we don't do anything that may incite evil thoughts in our mind, induce evil thoughts in our mind. So many times these evil thoughts that are revolving around the mind are induced. How they're induced, either by some type of literature that you're reading, some program that you're viewing, some types of people that you're sitting and talking with. When you're sitting and talking with such people, and they are discussing something, or they have evil in their hearts, and you're sitting with them, so you also incited towards wrong. You're also inclined towards wrong. Perhaps you didn't have any of those evil thoughts. But when you sat with that person, he has got those wrong thoughts. But you're sitting with that person, and your mind gets also affected, influenced. The mind is very, very sensitive. Small thing, and it just triggers the thought. A small little thing. Person can be perfect, normal, but then the type of association that he has, that association then turns the mind around. Must have been perfectly normal. Like you'll find a lot of youngsters will come and complain that I had no feelings towards young boys, right? But then suddenly I began to have those feelings. Whereas I didn't have those feelings at all in the past. Now suddenly these type of thoughts began to run to my mind. So the reason is that you are joining that type of crowd. The type of crowd that are talking about it, or they have this type of inclinations. When they have the type of inclinations, you're talking and sitting with them. When you're sitting around with them, then those thoughts are rubbing into your minds. Now your mind was absolutely clean. Then you sit with this type of people. Now you begin to think like this. Whereas your mind was absolutely clean. Now your mind begins to think like this. It has this type of inclinations. Boy to boy, or woman to woman. It's about 2 months ago when Ustaz went for supervision. Talimi boy, they go for supervision. So one Ustaz in one madrasa, they called up the supervisor, say, see this child here. About a 7-8 year old child. What happened? So the child says that my mother's husband, he hit me. No, my mother's husband, she hit me. So the supervisor got struck. He got shocked for the moment. What did you say? You know, my mother's husband, she hit me. When you say she hit me, what do you mean? He said, no. She's also a woman. Oh, they just got married now like this. So now, it may have been that they didn't have this inclination. Like you'll find general Muslim women, like other women also, they don't have that feelings. Right? They don't have that feelings. But you come across this type of literature, this type of people, this type of crowd, that talk like this, that behave like this, or you read that type of material, then you also begin to become inclined towards this. Or suddenly, there's a whole change in your whole behavior. Then it goes so bad sometimes that you want a whole change, transgender. You want to become a man, you want to become a woman, or a woman, you want to become a man. Now, this was never heard of before. Nobody wanted to do this before. Suddenly it came up. How it came up? Someone is promoting this. They're pushing it. See? So the same happens with this evil, evil beliefs, whether it is Darwin's theory or whatever, whatever, evolution, whatever. So before this, it never appealed to your mind. But now someone had to start it off. When they started it off, you got interested and your mind went towards it as well. That person read it, he also began to think like this. Whereas your mind was absolutely clear. So the first thing what is needed is that we don't read something, we don't discuss, we don't get into things that are beyond our forte, beyond what we can comprehend. Everybody is not supposed to be thinking that I can handle it, I can take it by the horns. Do what you can manage, what you can't manage, leave it to someone else. Everybody feels, no, I can read anything, everything I can go to, and I can read between the lines. And then you get hooked up into one concept, one idea, and you don't know how to release yourself out of it. There must have been some reason why Rasulullah had stopped some Sahaba Ikram from reading the books of the past, past scriptures. They were asked not to read it. And the reason is obvious, that they may get confused. They're reading this, and they're reading the Quran Sharif. Then you're reading one thing here, you're reading something else in the Quran Sharif. Then your mind doesn't know how to reconcile. When your mind doesn't know how to reconcile, now you get into a state of confusion. Is this right or is this right? Is this right or is this right? Now that doubt remains in your mind, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. And you can't just purge those thoughts out of your system. You want to get it out, you want to flush it out, but it's not just flushing out. At the very difficult moments, or a Juma, at the time when du'as are getting accepted, these thoughts are running in your mind again. So sometimes it is self-induced. See? So the self-inducing, that's very, very, very bad. It's evil. You tell yourself, but I can't manage this thing. Why must I take it on? Everybody mustn't pretend to be able to do everything. Right? If, for example, one doctor is a neurosurgeon, right? All right. So anything that is related to neurosurgery, he will be able to handle it. Very good, mashallah. But if the neurosurgeon pretends to be a heart surgeon, and he says, no, I'm a neurosurgeon, so I can do this as well. I'm a surgeon after all. I don't know what is surgery. So if I'm a neurosurgeon, I can be a heart surgeon as well. And he gets into this, then you would say that this is wrong. He must remain within his forte. You've been specialized for a certain thing, remain within that. Don't cross over that. This is someone else's territory. So, no, but I studied surgery. Yes, you studied surgery, but you didn't specialize in heart. So when you didn't specialize in the heart, then you mustn't get into this. You don't go and experiment into this. You experiment, it may result in a disaster. Someone may die. So the same here, some things are within our forte, right? Some kitabs, some books, and some literature, some programs that you hear over the radio, that's within your forte. You can understand, you can relate, your mind can digest. But there are some books, etc., that you can't relate, you can't understand. And then it is the trick of the author, the one that's writing it. He writes in such an impressive style that you just want to take what he's giving you. He's writing in that style. You know, there was one girl's madrasa somewhere. And this book, Harry Potter, was just launched at that time. And there wasn't a girl that wasn't reading it. And nearly 99% of those girls were all confused. What? And that Harry Potter was 100% jadu. But just that, you get a black magic, so you get white magic. If you get a black person doing magic, then you get a white person doing magic also. Both is same. So you can't say that the black magic is worse than the white magic. Both is haram. Magic is magic. Now you won't say, because it's a white person that is doing magic, so it is much more kosher than the black person doing the magic. Both is haram. If this is filth, that is filth. The black person's suraj is no worse than the white person's suraj. Both suraj is the same. Can't say now because the white person's suraj, so this is gold. Can't say that. Filth is filth. This is filth. This is filth. But because it's prepared by a white, so now you must read the thing. And you must, you have to believe that this is kosher. So well written. Presentation is so beautiful. Now they went and read the book, and then the minds went all off. Now who's going to do the mind right again? It's such a big task again to get the mind right. So one is those doubts that are self-induced. A problem that is self-imposed. That is a big disaster. It's stupidity, it's a disaster. It's really being naive. It's not your forte. You can't handle the thing. You don't have that capacity. You don't have that understanding to take it on. Why must you take it on? Why must you listen to that program? One person is late now. Right? So there was a Shia and a Sunni program, right? Talk show, and there is some debate. Right? So in the morning, he comes to me and he says, you know, I heard the talk show, the Sunni presenter and the Shia, but the Shia's points are very, very, very good, you know. Now his mind was confused. And he was confused by the presentation. He did the presentation so well that it seemed to be more palatable and better. Whereas it was trash. I know about what was presented, but it was absolute trash. But because he couldn't read within it, therefore he felt it very, very lucrative, he felt it palatable, and his heart wanted to take on. But who asked you to go and read the thing? Now for the rest of your life, doubts will linger in your mind. So what is not within your forte, not within your understanding, why must you pretend to know it? Even the Sufis say that some of these books on Tasawuf is not for public consumption. Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, rahmatullahi, kitabs, many of his kitabs, they say it's not for public consumption. And the reason is there are certain experiences that a person goes through. And sometimes the writer is writing and he's got a code of his own, right? When he's got a code of his own, you don't know his code. When you don't know his code, then you can be misled. He's implying something else and you don't understand the code, so you feel, hey, what is the man saying here? He's using a certain code and he's got reasons why he's using that certain code. Because there are certain experiences that are experienced by people as they come to a certain level. So those that are familiar with the science, they will appreciate it. But the one that is not familiar, that is not for him. The book is not for him. It's haram for him to read that book. Although that book is a dini book written by a saint of his time, but it's haram for the next person to read it. It's beyond you. You first learn the code, you understand the science, you understand very, very well, you're familiar with this, now you read, you won't find any confusion. Right? But you haven't understood the codes, you're not familiar with the science, and straight away you got into it. So the same now, presently it's like a craze to translate anything and everything. And any person will quote, no, this hadith appears in Hakim, it appears in Muslim Sharif. So why don't you take this hadith? Now the hadith is the science on its own. There's two aspects to hadith, or even to the Quran Sharif. One is virtues. Virtues we can relate. You'll do this and you will get this reward. So those differences are easy to understand, right? But then there are hadith, etc., that relate to commandments, right? When they relate to commandments, there's so many things to understand before you can read that hadith. Now, anybody in every hadith is being translated. When it's being translated, then it's gone for human consumption, for public consumption. And when it's public consumption, then it's creating confusion. But this hadith says something here, and this hadith says something else. Now, just to understand the differences, I'll just quote you two situations for you to understand differences. See, a child is growing, right? A growing child, then you give him clothing according to his size, right? And after he's fully grown, that clothes become redundant, right? So the same in deen, the person is growing in faith, so you give him one dosage. Now he's very well developed. Now you say, oh, this is expired. Now you take the second package. I gave you that first package. That first package was for your initial stages. Now you have been well developed. Now leave that. This is expired. And you take the next one. So when you get something abrogated, then it's abrogated for this reason. It was for a certain period, and thereafter, when that term had expired, now there's another command. Now people that are not acquainted with this type of things, they say, well, why can't we do it? Or why is there a contradiction? Why is there an apparent contradiction? So the problem with you was you didn't study that thing. That was one problem. And the problem with the other person is why he translated this. That person must read it who is familiar with that science. Otherwise, it is not you are doing an injustice to the science. If I bring up a book of medicine, right, ancient medicine, and I just push it for human consumption, for public consumption, it would be wrong. You know, you're in India somewhere. So, we had one dawat. So, one person is telling me, today's people are nonsense, man. You know, our family, about 400 years ago, one person would finish up one sheep. Now it takes four of our family people to finish one sheep. Now, that was one age, right? One age, they must have been tough, strong, well-built, and everything was done physically. Everything was done manually, right? So the consumption was so great. Now, if you pretend to be like that person four centuries ago, right, you'll kill yourself. You can't finish one sheep. Even, I think, 10 people won't finish one sheep. Forget 10, even, I think, maybe 20 people also won't finish. That one person was finishing it up, and now 20 persons also can't finish it up. But if you want to say, no, they did it in the past, so I must do it now, then you bring ruin to yourself. So this is a problem in this age, that there's an abundance of information, but there is a serious lack of correct understanding. So the greater thing is to have the understanding, right? You've got a lot of diamonds, lots of diamonds. You've got emeralds, diamonds, precious stones, but you lack the understanding to evaluate, you know, what is the value. And one is, he's got one, two diamonds, but he knows value. He knows where he'll fetch the price for it. So the one person, he's got a lot of diamonds. He doesn't have the system to evaluate. He's going to sell it for nothing. He says, it's a stone, he can take it for free. He can't evaluate. So the more important thing is now to try and understand what is the value of this thing. Every hadith understands the value, where it stands, what's its position, how it fits on. So anyway, we are talking about this hadith, this Quranic ayat, in tubdu ma fi anfusikum, and I just branched off, showing you the reasons of the stray thoughts, some of the reasons of the stray thoughts. So the Sahaba kiram came up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as far as expressing some evil thought, right, physically or verbally, we can't restrain. No, nothing stops us. We won't express it. But then these thoughts are evolving around the mind. Now, what do we do with that? Have we lost our faith? And when this verse was revealed, then they became even more overcome with anxiety, because Allah Pak is saying that you're going to be called to account for even the thoughts that pass your mind. So Rasulullah showed them, at the first level, he showed them what is adab. See? That you mustn't be like the past nations. You must learn adab, right? So Nabi Sam taught this ummah, and it was the blessings of this ummah that they learned that adab, that etiquette. What is the etiquette? When the Bani Israel, when they were told to go and conquer a certain town, right? So they flatly refused. And they said, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ. You go and fight yourself. Go and fight yourself, telling Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They felt that they won't be able to manage, so they flatly refused. He just denied, went on denial, not, we're not prepared to go. And this ummah, as a blessing to this ummah, Allah Pak taught them adab. All right, when you find a thing too difficult, what are you supposed to be doing? On the one end, it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Then you feel you can't manage it. Then what are you supposed to be doing? So the verse was revealed to show you adab. And you must say, Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Right? Now, how beautiful this verse is. This ayat of adab is so beautiful. Just understand it. Right? So when you hear this, all right, you felt that it was too difficult for you, but you say this. We hear, we obey, and we beg your pardon, O Allah Ta'ala. Because we have to return to you. Understand the demographics of this verse. Then you'll appreciate it. You're saying to Allah Ta'ala, that, O Allah Ta'ala, lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. You're saying to Allah Ta'ala that everything belongs to you. Then if everything belongs to you, then we also belong to you. This command that you have brought and this command that you have executed is also yours. We are yours, the commands are yours. Right? We are yours, so you know our limitations. When you know our limitations, in spite of knowing and understanding our limitations, you have commanded, then we listen and obey. Because you know our limitations, but you instructed. So your work is to instruct. You've got the right, the authority to instruct. And it is our duty to obey. So you will do according to your authority, and we will do what is our duty. Our duty is to obey. Because you know us, you created us, you made us, you know everything in us, you know our limitations. In spite of knowing our limitations, then too you said that you will be called to account. Hence, our duty is then to listen and to obey. Labak knows, in spite of him knowing, then too he said that even if you conceal what's in your mind, then too you will be called to account. وَإِن تُخْفُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوا يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ Labak will call you to account. So, he's teaching you adab. What is teaching you? You must say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَفْرَانَكَ. Say this words here. We hear and we obey. And then, you don't need to act too brave before Allah Ta'ala. You express your limitations and your weaknesses. You can't be too brave. You can't be saying Allah Ta'ala, you know what? You can trust me out and I'll do whatever. Whatever I need to do, I'll do it. You can't say Allah Ta'ala that. You've got a limit. So you have to understand and recognize your limit. One person, pious, great saintly person, so in a state of some spiritual ecstasy, very high state of spiritual ecstasy, he says to Allah Ta'ala, you know, Allah Ta'ala, I'm at a state now, at a level, you want to try me out, try me out. You want to try me out, you can try me out. He thought like, you know, he's a boxer, so anybody wants to try me out, they can come and try me out. I've passed all. Even this Muhammad Ali that passed away on Ramzan, right? Before he would enter into the fight, he would ask Allah Ta'ala's help. He'd make dua. So he's also showing that I can't do it myself. It is with divine assistance that I fight. Right? So he showed it through his conduct, right? Maybe Allah Ta'ala helped him because of that, because he accepted that I am weak and it is with your might, O Allah Ta'ala, that I can overcome my opposition. Right? So Allah Ta'ala allowed him to have the upper hand. Right? So this saintly person is saying to Allah Ta'ala, you can try me out. I'll do anything. So this type of an attitude is not good. That is why the hadith says, لا تتمنوا لقاء الأدو. Don't you aspire to confront the enemy. Let's let him come. I'll see him, I'll push him, I'll put him in his place. Because at that time, you don't know what's going to be your state. Now you're acting brave, but at the time of the encounter, what's going to be like? You know, one person tells me, no, a very brave person, I can do everything. Anyway, after but a year, 2 years, I met him. Say, well, you know, I made those claims of bravery and all that. Then I don't think it was right. So, no, I had an encounter with some thieves, and when I pulled out my gun, my whole body was shivering. The whole body was shivering. I couldn't use the gun. So at the time of the encounter, what you're going to be, how you're going to be behaving, that's a different thing altogether. You may say, you know, I'm strong, I can do things and all that, but how are you going to conduct yourself at the time of the encounter is a different thing altogether. That's the one thing. The second thing is this, that a Muslim plants his trust in Allah, not in himself. You say, no, let him come, I'll fix him, I'll put him in his place. As though you say, I can overwhelm the person with my own strength and ability. And a Muslim doesn't do this. He says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Might and strength is from Allah Ta'ala alone, not my own. With this strength and with this might, I can do things, I can avoid problems, and then I can acquire good by his strength and by his might. Of my own, I can't do it. So the saintly person, he's made this type of a claim. So Allah Ta'ala, you try me out, and I can overcome any type of trial now. I'm at a very high spiritual level. So it's such a ridiculous thing to say to Allah Ta'ala. Such a ridiculous thing. Allah Ta'ala got every button in his hand. Every switch of your body, he's got it in his hand. Between his fingers, every switch. So just one switch Allah Ta'ala pressed. And he got a prostrate problem early in the morning. Difficulty. Prostrate is such a difficulty. It's worse than delivering a child. Delivering a child, how she becomes hysterical at the time. So it's even more difficult than that. And she's struggling with pain. And then he's trying to figure out, this thing came to me as a consequence of something. I made the statement yesterday, Allah Pak, try me out and I will cross every hurdle. So Allah Pak tried me out with a small little trial. He just pressed one button. He put me into a prostrate problem. Now I can't pass the urine. 1 or 2 liters of urine that are stuck in the bladder, and it's not just releasing. Now I'm in excruciating pain. I can't manage this thing. But where it came from this point, that I claim to be something great. And Allah Pak doesn't like this to claim. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Claim, Allah Pak doesn't like that. Now, he's thinking within himself, all right, I messed it up now. I must go and sort it out. I messed it up, so I must sort it out. I must correct myself. So he saw a whole class of children in a pre-primary kindergarten, They're learning Bismillah and how they learn the small du'as, Du'a to enter the masjid, into the toilet. So he saw the small children, 5, 4, all innocent, all masoom children. Right? So when they are going to be innocent, inshallah, the du'as are going to be answered as well. They are sinless, and they have no evils within their hearts. Their minds, they don't connive evil. They may play a prank or something, but their hearts don't have a prank. They don't have any evil. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah used to say, see the lesson that you must learn from a child. Children, they are pure from two evils. One is pride and ostentation, right? They got no pride and ostentation, right? The mother will wash the child and put on new clothing, right? Two nice clothing, powder and everything, and let the child look so spick and span. Right? The next moment you give the child a chocolate and the old clothes, everything is messed up. Ice cream and the old clothing. So that is not worried also. The clothes are messed up, so he's not worried. And we adults, if the clothes is one spot here, one stain, you don't want to come out in public, right? So we've got to think about ostentation, presentation, show, we've got this. But they don't have it. Their hearts are absolutely spotless. This is the one thing that we learn from children. And number two, we will find that the children don't have any malice. Their hearts are free of malice. Unka sina bekina. Their hearts are free of any malice, any evil feelings. You'll see now one child fought with the other child. And in 2 minutes they are again talking and they're like normal, like nothing happened. Perhaps the fathers will get into the fight, but they already sorted the differences they're playing. So, unke sine ko dekho, sina bekina. Aren't they two great lessons to learn from children? So anyway, this Buzrug, he saw these children and he felt to himself, this is the right place for me to go, because they are innocent children. Du'as, inshallah, their du'as will get very, very readily answered. So he goes to these children and he says, Ud'u istaghfiru li abikum. Istaghfiru li abikum al-khatta. Ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness for your sinful father. Right? It's your father, I'm your elder. Right? I'm 70 years of age. And you are 4 or 5 years of age, so I'm like your father. But I messed it up, so I'm sinful. You people are innocent. So you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness on my behalf. Allah Ta'ala must forgive me. I really messed it up. I made a big mistake. So anyway, these children, they made dua for him. And they had to make dua, and that urine also just opened out, cleared up. Coming back to this verse now, I say there's all these type of thoughts that run through the mind. Now, Nabi Sam first taught them the adab. You say this, Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranak. Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. I explain it. Everything belongs to him. We also belong to him. He made us, so he knows our limits. In spite of him knowing our limits, then too he commanded, then our duty is that we just say, Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranak. So Allah Ta'ala, we listen, we obey, and we ask your forgiveness. You know, we will mess it up, you know, we'll wrong. So, ghufranak, Allah Ta'ala, we ask your forgiveness. Because at the end, when we look at the whole equation, then we'll have to return back to you. We can't go anywhere else. We came from Allah Ta'ala, and we're back to him. So the only sensible thing is to ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. We messed up, made mistakes, etc. So Allah Ta'ala, you do pardon us. The dua is taught to the Sahaba Ikram, and they read this dua. In other words, Sahaba were told as though they don't worry too much, don't stress too much about these type of stray thoughts. Don't put your minds to it. Just do this dua and enough. You don't have to then stress about it. This dua, the two things I asked you. One is, don't self-impose, don't self-induce these things here. By the type of company, that type of literature, that type of program, etc., that's beyond your forte, you don't do that. But even after that, those thoughts run through your mind, then that's not your problem. It's not a thing for you to be stressing about. You just ask, you just say this, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَسِيرَ. You made us, I ask your forgiveness, I'll have to return to you one day. Now when they showed that adab, then immediately Allah Ta'ala brought about the relaxation and the concession to this ummah. And then he says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. See, our system, our law. See, Allah is explaining the law. What is our law? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That no soul is burdened beyond its capacity. But every soul is burdened only within its capacity, not beyond your capacity. So these thoughts are not within your capacity, so you're not going to be answerable for this. Although we said it at the beginning, but now we have relaxed the whole law. The whole law has been relaxed, and you've got a great concession because of your adab. You responded to the Nabi. The Nabi said, you just say this. See, the beauty in listening to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the real beauty is listening to him without even understanding. Immediately, like before I could explain you to this verse, most of you all didn't understand the relationship. Do you understand the relationship? You didn't understand. You're reading this. Amana Rasulu, Illahi. Everybody is reading it. But you understand the relationship. Right? You didn't understand the relationship. Right? So the beauty of listening to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you listen to him, you'll get a relaxation straight away. You'll get a relief. Afterwards, the philosophy and the wisdom will appeal to you. All right, this is the wisdom. This is the understanding, the fine understanding. Afterwards, it'll come to you. Immediately, it'll not come to you. So Allah Pak gave a relaxation, a concession straight. La yukalla. This is my law, that any soul will not be burdened beyond its capacity. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah Pak tawfeeq.